Live from the crossroads of Southern food and culture, you're tuned in to Let's Eat, Y'all, the radio show that dishes on the people, places, ingredients, and events that define Southern food. Pull up a chair. It's time to taste more in your food with your host, food industry entrepreneur and co-founder of Eat, Y'all, Andy Chapman.
Welcome to this week's edition of Eat, Y'all Radio. I've got special guest Marty Duncan with us today, and she is a Alabama native, and she's a blogger, writer, entrepreneur extraordinaire, and she has been on the Food Network's Next Food Network Star, and been just about everywhere, done everything media, TV wise, and we're excited to have Marty with us today. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hey, Andy, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we are excited. You're going to be coming to an event in Ridgeland, Mississippi, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But tell people about kind of your background and how you ended up doing all the things you're doing right now in life with being an author, a blogger, a writer. I know we don't have a two-hour show, but maybe you can boil some of that down.
Okay. So, all right, I don't know. I have the craziest life of anybody you ever meet. And so I started out as a cop, and I was in the wedding business for a long, long time, too. Cop thing came up because I needed to get my school paid for, and City of Birmingham was willing to do that. So I was a cop, and then I decided there had to be a better way to make a living than getting the crap beat out of me every day at work. So I got married, and I had somebody ask, hey, would you like to be in the wedding business? You seem to have an interest in it, and I wasn't really doing anything yet, so I tried, you know, thought, well, okay, I'll do it for a while. Well, that while ended up being like the rest of my life. I'm still in the wedding business. Now, I do a few weddings a year, not too many, but anyway, weddings, parties, entertaining has always been sort of part of the second nature of me. I started throwing parties in high school, and it just stuck with me, and that has translated, of course, into cooking and food. My mom was an amazing cook, but fast forward, you know, many years, many parties, many thousand weddings later, I had an opportunity to develop some content for Microsoft for MSN.com, and it was supposed to be wedding-oriented content, and they came to me one day, and they said, Marty, we would like for you to develop content around parties and entertaining. Do you think you can do that? And I said, yeah, my friends don't call me Marty with the party for nothing. And the guy said, oh, my God, let's do that. And so when we started out doing, I became Microsoft's entertaining expert. And if you can imagine this, Andy, on the first day they launched me out, I was on the homepage of MSN.com, sandwiched right between Jacques Pepin and Jose Andre. I still have that picture, and I, you know, took a screenshot of it, and I just went, oh, my God, what has happened?
That is awesome.
So I figured if I'm going to be, I know, so I figured if I'm going to be stuck with it, the likes of Jose Andre and Jacques Pepin, I better know my, you know what. So I really dug in, started working hard to perfect my skill in the kitchen. I always cooked, but I never really, like, took it seriously. It was just something I did. So I really dug in and started cooking, developing recipes, and including recipes as part of the content that we provided to Microsoft. And in those early days, they didn't have any recipe content. They do now, and I'm part of their MSN food channel, in fact. But it started that way. And then, you know, I wanted to expand my brand and get a little bit more visibility, so I tried to reach out to some people at Food Network, and I didn't have a whole lot of success. That was after meeting Guy Fieri, and he encouraged me to do that. So I kind of got that bug and tried, but I didn't know what to do. I'm from Birmingham. I don't have a lot of production companies here or, you know, access to people at, you know,
right,
in that sort of media arena here. So I was on the Food Network website one night, and very late at night, like midnight, and I came across an ad for the next Food Network star, and I looked up at God, well, to the air, and I said, okay, is this how it's going down? I'm going to audition for this television show? Are you kidding me? And so I looked, and it said there are two auditions available. One was in Chicago the next day, and the other one was in Hawaii. So it was midnight, Andy. I looked at my phone, and I said, midnight. Take me 10 hours. I'll get there just in time. So I just threw stuff in the car and started driving.
That's awesome. I've never heard that story before. So, obviously...
Well, and so, I mean, I think, though, it was very much like when you see those American Idol auditions, I felt like they were just almost waiting for me because I walked in the room and I was one of the last ones because I got there very late. And I didn't have any of the paperwork or anything done. I had to do all that when I got there. And but when I walked in the room, it literally took the girl like 1 minute to say, you're coming for a callback tomorrow. And I said... A callback? I didn't know there were callbacks. This is how little I know about the process. I didn't know there were callbacks. I'm like, I'm staying in the hotel. And she said, oh, well, you've got a real challenge then because tomorrow when you come for the callback, you've got to bring a dish. And it, you have to have it cooked. And you're going to present it to us. And I'm like, where am I supposed to cook it? She goes, well, I guess that's your first challenge. So that's a whole nother story. And that is one of the very best stories I have. But we'll save that one.
This portion of the program brought to you by Simmons Catfish. Visit SimmonsCatfish.com for more information. Now back to our guest.
Now, you were, I love the fact that you were a cop. I did not know that. And that's a,
yeah.
I missed that. That kind of ties in.
So you understand my personality a little better now? A lot of people are like, she's such a strong personality. Well, if you get beat up and drug behind a car and maced, and if you find yourself on the bottom of a pile, yeah, you don't have a strong personality.
So that training is actually carried over into the food world, it seems like.
Yes. Well, Alton Brown, when I got picked for Alton's team, he sent a note to me saying, before you come to, I'm sure he sent this to everybody on the team, before you come start filming, I suggest you read three books. Two were culinary books that, you know, very important culinary books. And the third, which I thought was so incredible, was The Art of War, the Sun Tzu book, which, you know, probably had seen it maybe somewhere along the line in college, never paid much attention to it, but boy... So, yes, the police training and the Art of War really did come into play a little bit because you had to learn to kind of control your emotions to a certain degree. Because there were a lot of times I had to bite my lip and suck it up. And, you know, one time in particular, I don't know if you recall the time that Alton made me hold my hand up and recite, I will never... reference my age again. The fact of the matter was I wasn't really referencing my age. I was referencing nostalgia. And he, that was just a sort of a storyline that they developed. But man, I had to bite, my face turned purple. If you look at the clip, my face is absolutely purple. And I was biting my lip and trying to control myself the very best that I possibly could. And yeah, so that police training and the Art of War and all the tactics that you learn in those situations that helped me tremendously.
This portion of the program brought to you by Visit Ridgeland and the Visit Ridgeland app. Now back to our guest.
Tell us some of the things you have going on right now. I know you've got a book that's out, Birmingham's Best Bite, and you said you're working on another.
Yes, and I can't tell you what the title of that one is, but you're going to love it. And I'm very excited because this one, the Birmingham's Best Bite book, has a big part of my heart because when I was a kid, this book is the one that I did. It's a charity project, and I did it for the Birmingham Public Library, Andy. And that is, all the money goes to them. That this is actually the third printing. We did two softback versions that we self-published and self-printed. And through donations and things like that, we got it printed, and 100% of the money from those went to the library. Well, then we had a publisher since it had sold out twice, the publisher picked it up and has now published it in a hardback version, which people can get that on Amazon.com, Birmingham's Best Buys on Amazon.com, or they can get it at local places around Birmingham, like the Barnes & Noble stores here, or, which I was tickled that they picked it up, Books A Million stores, and a lot of the smaller local shops have it as well. And we sold about 5,000 copies, but all the proceeds go to the library to fund their special events. And for me, that's so important because so many people in our community really don't have access to Amazon. They don't have access to the Internet. And the library gives them all these tools and resources that they need. And for me, when I was a kid, going to the library was how I learned to dream and how I learned that things were possible. I've been all over the world. I've done so many. Being a cop was just one of the crazy things I've done, Andy. I play polo, for Pete's sake. How does that happen to a girl from Birmingham, Alabama? I mean, you know, I don't even know. I had a business in Dubai. The library gives you such imagination and gives you an opportunity to really think things are possible. So I wanted to encourage people to visit the library, so that's why I did that book. And it's a collection of recipes. It's a good one, too. We got a lot of James Beard Award winners and nominees in there. It's got cocktails, appetizer soups, sandwiches, entrees, desserts, all nine yards. And we even have an archive section from places that are now closed, but those favorite places, you know, that you grew up with.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got recipes from some of those kind of places. Because we work with a library, we had the archive. So we were able to even put some things like that in there and some Birmingham food history. By the way, did you know that Galatoire in New Orleans, one of my all-time favorite places, started in Birmingham?
I did not. So is there a Galatoire recipe in your book?
There's not a Galatoire recipe in there, but there is some other local favorites. Because nobody remembers it. It was so long ago, nobody remembers it. But we put in places that are those, you know, those, God, I wish that so-and-so was still around, you know. I remember their pie or whatever it was. So we have several of those in there, some, you know, days gone by places. And so my second book, my book I'm working on now, is just dear to my heart because it's, you know, about celebrations around the South. And, you know, if you know me, you know my gig is parties and entertaining, easy ways to get together with friends and family at home. And the reason I promote that is not because I, you know, love throwing parties. I do like it, but it's to keep the friends and family together, you know, it's to create those memories that last a lifetime. That's me, my soapbox is, you know, spend time with the people you love, see them, give them good food, you know, hang out together. So this one is about celebrations around the South, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope people will like it.
I can't wait to hear more about that and when it's out. And when is it coming out? Do you have a date yet?
No, I haven't. We haven't sold it yet. I've got to get it pitched, and I'm working on that right now, and I'm hoping a publisher will pick it up. I think they will, based on the performance of our last book, I think. And, you know, I think we'll get it sold. I hope so. Any agents out there listening, please send me a note about my book.
This portion of the program brought to you by the Gourmet Guru Grill. Find out why it's the only grill we use at our house at eatyall.com/grill, a ceramic grill built to be the last grill you ever need. Gourmet Guru Grill.
We've got Marty Duncan for our listeners. We have Marty Duncan and at least 13 other female chefs from around the Southeast that are coming to an event in Ridgeland, Mississippi called The Sweetest Chefs in the South. And Marty, we haven't actually announced this publicly yet, but Whitney Miller, who is, I know you know, is coming as well. We confirmed that yesterday. And so we'll have chefs from, I believe, Nashville, New Orleans, the Panhandle of Florida, Birmingham, several Jackson chefs, pastry chefs. And the event is Swedish Chefs in the South, and we'll be featuring, I guess, somewhere around 20 or 15 or 20 different pastry chefs and their bites. And I think you're signed up to do a demonstration of that night. Talk to us about some of your sweetest bites that you've had and some of the things that are your favorite desserts in the world.
My favorite desserts in the world? Well, I did one of them on Food Network Star for sure, and it's in this book that I just mentioned too. You know, when the day that we did that challenge, they said, you know, your culinary point of view, what inspires you? What is the one dish that, you know, you would have to say, you know, is the signature dish for your point of view? For me, parties entertaining, what is it going to be like cake and ice cream, right? I mean, what's a party without cake and ice cream?
Exactly.
So I got to the challenge to make a, you know, like a little chocolate souffle cake and some ice cream. We've all seen those Food Network kitchens, right? Well, most of the time we were working in these remote kitchens all over the place, and there was no ice cream freezer except for those little tabletop kind, and those take too long, you know? So, but this day we were actually cooking at the Food Network kitchen. So I'm like, awesome, I'm going to make ice cream. You know, my mother made ice cream all the time, always helped her. It's one of my signature things. I love to do it. So I'm like, I'm making cake and ice cream. And what's more pretty than that? So I get to the kitchen and I look around, and it's not like the Iron Chef kitchen we're in. It's the one where they take those sometimes Thanksgiving specials and things like that. Well, there's no dang ice cream freezer in there. That same little tabletop deal. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I'm just sitting there, and then literally counting 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm looking at the ingredients thinking, what the heck am I going to do? Because I can't make ice cream in the time that I have. So I just remembered this chocolate roulage recipe from a place that we all used to go for our bridal showers, bridesmaid luncheons, baby showers, things like that. It was a place called Cobb Lane. And they made this thing called chocolate roulage. Now, people don't laugh because I know it is roulade technically. That's the real word, the French word for the, you know, like the little jelly roll-up thing. But in Birmingham, for some reason, it was called roulage, and it still is. So I made a chocolate roulage. I don't even know how I made it. It was 1 hour. I don't even know how I did it, because I had to make three of them to feed all the people and have enough for the beauty shot. I think, I don't remember exactly how many portions I had to have, but anyway, I did it. And it got great reviews, and so that is my favorite recipe of all my sweets.
Because you were able
great memories of my,
pull it out of your hat right with, there.
Yeah, that, and because, you know, it just has such great memories. We had it at my bridesmaid luncheon. I mean, it's one of those things that just got great memories. But, yeah, pull a rabbit out of a hat. But if you saw what you didn't see was, not only did I not know what I was going to make when I got in there, but my stinking oven wouldn't work either. And so you see me at the very last 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 in Justin's hands helping me plate, because, I mean, seriously, I was 5 minutes into the thing before I even knew what I was making. So anyway, wow. That's my favorite dessert, chocolate roulage. And I have also mastered the party banana pudding, because, you know, there's nothing worse than getting banana pudding at a free, and then you take a scoop out and it looks like mess. It's like the dog's breakfast, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a mess. One spoonful out, and it looks terrible. So I have mastered the one-bite banana pudding. So it is so cute, so delicious, and they just, everybody loves them. So it's just like a little one-biter, and you just don't even have to have a spoon or fork or anything. You just pick it up.
And it always looks great every time. I love it.
It's beautiful, and it's easy.
I love it. We need to have more banana pudding at our house. I'm gonna vote for that on our next menu connection. I'm gonna say, Marianna, we need to have banana pudding. We'll have to. Is that recipe on your website somewhere?
I don't think it is, but, you know, I might make that. That may be one I will make. It's a lot of fun to serve people. Absolutely love it.
This segment brought to you by Sugar Taylor Sauce, great for grilling, dipping, and adding a kick to any dish. Visit eatyall.com/shop to learn more about Sugar Taylor Sauce today.
I I was joking with one of our chefs. You know, there's a lot of really creative people out there that can make anything. They can take catfish and make it into a dessert. And there's something to be said for that. But there's also, Mariana always says, don't mess with dessert. Like, if you're making bread pudding, make a real bread pudding. Don't try to put, you know, tuna fish in it somehow and call it a tuna fish bread pudding.
I just don't get that. No, my buddy Justin Warner, who won Food Network Star My Season, he put things like dates with duck and some kind of knorry and stuff. I mean, I don't understand all that. I'm a very classical cook. I don't go too far outside the boundaries. I might with the presentation a little bit, like these one bite banana puddings. I might do something, you know, a little bit different like that. But I mean, if I'm going to the trouble of going in that kitchen and cooking, I want it to taste like I remember. I want it to taste like my mom made it or something delicious that I had from a favorite restaurant or something like that if I'm recreating. But I'm not big on changing it up. I mean, a little twist here with a different flavor, but I like the classic. You know, what can I say? I'm old school.
This portion of the program brought to you by Delta Blues Rice, artisan milled on a fourth generation family farm in the Mississippi Delta. DeltaBluesRice.com.
Well, talk to us about what inspired you and what kind of pushed you into your love of food. I know you kind of touched on some of that a little bit, but as far as what got you thinking food was something that would be a big part of your career, like, are there people in your life that really, you mentioned, you know, how your mother made banana pudding, are there people that really encouraged you and pushed you in that direction, or is it something you found on your own?
Andy, I just started cooking when I was, my mother cooked, so I cooked. We had a big family, so I had help. So, I mean, that was, you know, but I was one of those kids who lived in the yard, man. My mother had to just almost beat me to get me in the house. So, I mean, but I would come in and help with dinner. And that, you know, was just something that I always did, I mean, put with my mom. But I never thought about, to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you the main bottom line is I never even thought about making a living in food. I always just did it, and parties too. I made my living in weddings for many, many, many years, but parties were just always, even when I was a cop, I threw parties for all the police officers. Come to my house. Don't bring anything. I'm cooking everything. I did that for so many years everywhere I went, and like I said, I play polo. Well, I'm not a girl that's got a lot of money, so I traded my cooking and party throwing skills for booze at my polo club. I can afford to play polo. I mean, seriously, but I never thought about it. It just goes to show you how, you know, just one slight twist of thought can change your whole life. Well, I was sitting in that meeting when a guy said, Marty, how about food, parties, entertaining? And I looked around the room and I thought, oh, crap, I hope they don't see this light bulb going off in my head. But I just said, yeah. I mean, I do it anyway. I never really thought about getting paid for it. But it was just one of those light bulb moments. So, you know, I really had something to offer with affordable ideas for entertaining. That was something working in the wedding business, you learn so many tricks of the trade. And so that was just easy. And the food thing was a lot harder because I'd never really done it for anybody but myself or my friends or my family, except for those, you know, polo players I cooked for every Friday night, 200 and 300 people with a budget of $300 or $400 or whatever I had. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, I would have to throw a party with food, drinks, everything for like $300 or $400. Now, you know, when some of the times it would be easy to based on what you were serving, but sometimes it wouldn't be that easy.
Yeah.
But you know, it was just always a second nature thing for me, DNA. I'm hardwired to do it. And so I was just so lucky that the man said, hey, how about food? And because I don't know that it would ever have dawned on me, because I'm not classically trained. I don't know if it would have ever dawned on me that this could be a job that I could do. But thanks to people like Paula Dean And, you know, even Ina Garten, who hasn't gone to culinary school, there are a lot of, and Rachel Ray and people like that. Thanks to people like that who become authorities in the food world without the classical training, that paved the way for somebody like me who can now follow in their footsteps and say, you know, here's my expertise, here's what I know about. I would have to say inspired by all those home cooks that went before me. But in my hometown, we have a guy named Frank Stitt. Now, I don't know if you know who he is, but Frank's pretty legendary. He is probably the godfather of farm-to-table cooking, started here. I started going to his restaurant, Highlands Bar and Grill, when it first opened, and have some great stories of that. And even Chris Hastings, when he was the executive chef there, or maybe he was the chef de cuisine or whatever he was, but... I've been going there since it opened. So, yes, very inspired by Frank. I knew him. He's a polo player also. One that can actually afford to play a game, not like me. But Frank, I learned a lot from Frank. Just been inspired by him constantly. So we just cook simple country food at our house. My mom called it backdoor baking when she was a kid. She grew up in the children's home, in the Baptist children's home in Troy, Alabama. Her parents passed away when she was a little girl, and she lived there from the age of 3 on, and the kids had to have a job. So her sisters worked in the kitchen, so she worked in the kitchen with them, and they basically cooked whatever came in the back door. So we always had gardens and things like that growing up, and, you know, my mother didn't cook with mixes or anything like that, so I learned her style of cooking, you know, what, like I said, she called back door baking. And that's sort of how I cook now. I'm inspired by that. I'm inspired by the legacy that she left me, and, you know, just try to be inventive with as few ingredients as I can, and, you know, make something delicious that you'd want to serve to friends and family.
This portion of the program brought to you by your Southern Peanut Growers. Visit peanutbutterlovers.com for recipes and information about the perfectly powerful peanut.
Marty, what would you say, as we kind of wrap up here, what would you say your biggest accomplishment so far, the thing you're proudest of in your career would be at this point?
Oh, gosh. I think my biggest accomplishment was a failure. Does that make sense? So I did, as an entrepreneur, you know, you have a lot of successes. And there's a quote that says, you'll learn more from your failures than you ever will your successes. And I think for me, that's really true. I did a startup in 2002. We got it launched out. I'd been working on it for quite a few years, though, before I got it to market, and that startup went really well for 4 years, and then it crashed. And but I have to say, it's my biggest accomplishment, because first of all, I took an idea that was totally mine, something that had never been done in this country before. I got it to market. I got the funding for it. I raised $4 million for the thing. I hired a great team of people, and when I think about what we accomplished in that, it's remarkable to me that we did what we did. Now it failed. So from that, even in failure, I was able to take away so many great lessons that I'm applying this go round. And I hope that, you know, even in failure, it has been my greatest achievement, because it's helped me to get to where I am now.
Well, I love that. I try to tell our kids, we have 3 kids, and I try to tell them, sometimes you learn more from screwing up than you do from getting it right. And
it's so true.
They remind, you know, when you have kids, they remind you constantly when you screw up. So that they're like constantly saying, well, you did this, why didn't you do that? So that is very true, and I think that's great. All right, final thing that I usually ask every one of our guests is, we have a lot of young chefs and aspiring, you know, bloggers and other people out there, what would be a piece of advice you would give somebody that wants to kind of follow in your footsteps, or follow into one of the many facets of the food world, what's something you would drop a pearl of wisdom on our audience with?
Two things. First of all, there are a million ways you can be in the food industry. Don't think really narrow. You know, open your mind up and think. There's a million ways you can do it. And number two, don't ever take no for an answer, because no, you know, everybody's going to tell you no. I've had some of the nastiest comments against me, even after Food Network to start. And I've also had some of the most positive, like Guy Fieri being so positive and so uplifting. When he saw me on Food Network Star, he hid around the corner, and I came off the stage, and he grabbed me, and he said, "I told you so! I told you so!" I mean, you know, I've had some wonderful, you know, uplifting things, but I've also had some really nasty, negative comments. And I think to myself, well, yeah, okay, no, I get it. But to me, that just means no for now. So I need to work around. I need a new idea, a fresh idea, or a new approach. But I need to listen to what they say and digest it. But at the end of the day, you can't listen to the no. You have to always just keep hacking at it until you get the yes. And don't listen to anybody when they tell you can't do it, because you can do whatever you want to do. I don't care what it is.
Absolutely. Sage advice from Marty Duncan. Marty, thank you so much for being part of our show today on Eat Y'all Radio. Y'all can come visit, meet Marty July 21st at the in Ridgeland at the Fine Arts at the sorry it's at the Ridgeland Craftsman's Guild, and that will be all the information for that is on eatyall.com. So come out, visit Marty and all the other chefs at the Sweetest Chefs of the South event. We would love to see you there. You can get tickets online, and Marty will be there, and she'll have some of her first book there, I believe, with her. And we're excited about that happening here in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Marty, thanks for being on the show. Loved having you.
Thank you, Andy. People can find me at martyduncan.com. It tells them, and it's MartyDuncan.com. And then connect with me through all the different social channels or send me a note or an email. But I look forward to meeting everybody. I love Jackson and Ridgeland area and very excited about coming to Mississippi.
And Marty does a lot of great Twitter, Marty Party, MARTIE Party on Twitter. That's one of the ways we first connected with her, and she does a great job on Twitter. So y'all be sure and follow her there. And of course, you can follow us at Let's Eat Y'all on Twitter, Instagram, and all the different social media sites, Facebook, et cetera. So we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for joining us at Let's Eat Y'all. Want more? Subscribe to us on iTunes or visit eatyall.com. That's EATYALL.com, where you'll find radio archives, interviews, recipes, live event tickets, and access to our favorite Southern products. Say hi on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Let's Eat Y'all. That's LETSEATYALL. Until next time, thanks for listening. Let's Eat Y'all.